is not flashing green, but you've got me, do you? Ah, we'll give it a shot. Might disappear halfway through. Well, if you're joining us for the first time, we've been embarking on this journey over the last month, looking at all the different families and the different connections. And we probably should have called this series something about my family just as messed up as yours or the biblical families, because we haven't found a good example yet, have we, really, of a good family. And unfortunately, we're going to kind of continue the same theme today as well, too. But the theme that we're going to talk about today is, how do you leave a legacy? Now, this can be within the context of your family, but I think it's even beyond your family. Because as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, and as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, your family isn't just your biological kids or your biological siblings or parents, but this family has been given to us by God because we're all brothers and sisters in Him. And so the challenge for all of us is to think within the context of our family units, biologically, but also to think in the context of our communities and our church and the spheres of influence that God has entrusted us with. And so if you're to ask yourself the question this morning with that context, and well, what sort of legacy am I leaving? And what does that look like? And how do I even leave a legacy so that people will know what really mattered to me in my life and what I held dear and what I valued? How do I pass that on to somebody else? And so this morning, we're going to look at a story that passes something on, but not exactly the way that the people surrounding in the context of this story thought it should have been. And it's a really weird story for us, just as I think all the stories have been very weird and very different for us, because we don't live thousands of years ago, so the context of this is different. But the principles that come out of this story that we're going to read through this morning are still applicable to our lives today. A little girl asked her mother, how did the human race appear? The mother answered, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and that's how all mankind was made. 2 days later, the little girl asked her father the same question. How did human beings come into? The father answered, many years ago, there were monkeys from which the human race was developed. The confused girl returns to her mother and says, Mom, how is it possible that you told me that the human race was created by God, but Dad says that they were developed by monkeys? The mother answers, well, dear, it's very simple. I told you about the origin of my side of the family, while your father told you about his side. Isn't that great? A father thought it was about time to lecture his son, who was somewhat scattered-brained and frivolous. Jim, he said, you're getting to be a man now, and you ought to take life more seriously. Just think, if I died all of a sudden, where would you be? Well, I'd be right here, Dad, said Jim. The question is, back to his dad, where would you be? And that is the heart of the issue that we're going to talk about today. That as parents, as people of influence, God has entrusted every single one of us in this room this morning with influence. Now, maybe to a child, maybe to somebody at work, maybe to somebody in your neighborhood, community, whatever it is. But we all have spheres of influence, and we've all been entrusted with relationships. And so in those relationships, how do we pass on what is valuable to us and what matters to us to the next generation? To those people. And so we're going to read a story this morning. We're going to almost pick up where we left off last week. Last week we did the story of Abraham and Isaac. You remember how crazy that was? And the testing that God did to Abraham and sacrificing his son. Well, now we're picking up Isaac at the end of his life. So this is a kid that was just about sacrifice, who saw the miracle of God deliver him from being sacrificed by his father, because God provides and God knows everything and God gives the actual lamb. And he was just testing Abraham and trying to figure out his faith. And because of that blessing and because of that willingness to sacrifice and give up everything to put God first, Isaac sees something incredible, a legacy from his father, as imperfect as he was. Now, as we find near the end of Isaac's life, Isaac has married a woman named Rebekah. He has a couple of kids. Their names are Jacob and Esau. You'll probably recognize some of the names. And so at the end of this life, this is what happens. When Isaac was old, Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 and following. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his son, his older son, and said to him, "My son, here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and your bow, and go to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food that I like to bring and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Sounds innocent enough. Cultural tradition in this time was that the oldest son was to receive a blessing from the father, and we're going to talk about this in a minute. It was really important that the father would bless his son before his passing away. And the other thing you need to remember is that Esau, unfortunately, in a chapter or two before, had a birthright. So as a firstborn, you had the birthright to your inheritance, to all your father's stuff. And Esau comes in, he's tired and hungry, he's been out hunting, out all day, out all whatever it is, and he gives up his birthright to his brother in exchange for a bowl of soup. So this is going to be really important to Esau, hopefully, because he's already given up his birthright, so the only thing he's got left is this blessing that he's going to get from his father. Now Rebekah, Isaac's wife, was listening as Isaac spoke to her son. When Esau had left to the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way that he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that that he may give you his blessing before he dies." What? Something's not right here, right? There's some backhanded manipulating behind the scenes. Isaac and Rebekah are not seeing this the same way, are they? There's something going on here. There's a problem going on here. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a very hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him, and he would bring a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. She prepared the tasty food just as the way the father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in his house, or in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands with the smooth part of his neck with goat skins. Then she handed her son to Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. Esau must have been pretty hairy. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." "No, you're not." "I have done as you have told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Blatant lie on a couple different levels. Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God granted me success." What a liar.
What's going on here?
All right, we will try that again. We good? Good. All right, let me tackle that one again. So the last point here we're talking about is blessing. And what does it mean to pass on a blessing? We don't do that. If you live in Israel, if you're a Jew, every Friday night you celebrate something called Sabbath. And on Friday night you have Sabbath. It's this meal that's prepared because if you're a religious Jew, you're not supposed to eat all day Saturday from sunrise to sunset. And so Friday night you have your last final meal and there's this service that you go through. And so they have what's called challah, which is the bread, and they have the juice, and there's all these prayers that are said. But every Friday night, one of the key elements of the Shabbat dinner is the father gets up and he actually blesses his children. Now, if you ever go to a Shabbat meal and you're Gentile like myself, and it takes, 20 minutes before you actually get to eat, and there's different, anyways, it's like, this is weird. My kids, this is weird. But this is a part of their culture, and this comes from Scripture. The idea of the firstborn receiving a blessing, passing on the spiritual anointing that God gave that family and gave the head of the family, the father in this case, Isaac, passing it on to his sons is not just about monetary gain. That's a huge part of it. Passing on, here's all the sheep and the cattle and the thing that I've worked hard to. That's part of it. But the blessing is not just physical. It's a blessing from God that you give your son in this context. And one of the things about leaving a legacy, I think for us, thousands of years later in the New Testament, is that we have been given this chance and this opportunity to pass God's blessings that he gives us onto others. Because in the Old Testament, they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit the same way that you and I are. When you open your life to Jesus Christ, you say, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, and forgive me of my sins, and you become a new creation, you become filled with his Holy Spirit, you got something. First of all, that you didn't deserve, but you've got something that you can pass on to others. In Ephesians 1, it says that anointing, that Holy Spirit that lives in this, dwells inside of you, that's the same Holy Spirit and the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And you get to pass that on. And so in the context of a family, it's really important as a dad, as a mom, that you pray for your kids. That you pass on the value of praying, pass on the value of being in God's presence and his Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in your life, and you pass that on to your kids because that's what's going to be the be-all, the end-all in their life and help them with wisdom and comfort and counsel and guidance and discernment and everything that they need for the rest of their lives. And in the church, it's the same way with our young people and the children and whoever comes in who's not a Christian as they become Christians. It's to pass that legacy, to pass that blessing on to those people. Isaac trembles when he realizes he goofed. Esau is crying out because he realizes what he's missing. Bless those who persecutes you. Remember that Jesus says? Bless those. Turn the other cheek. This is so counterintuitive to our culture and our world, but this is what God asked us to do. This is what his Holy Spirit was given to us for, was to treat other equally, to have peace in our relationships, but to pass on his presence, to pass on his blessing, to bless those when we are persecuted, to bless those when things are good, when things are tough, when we're in the middle, when we're up, when we're down. Blessing. You can leave a legacy by blessing other people with what God has given you. And sometimes that can be in the physical components if you're blessed. Sometimes it can be with your talents and your skills that God has given you. And there's other times where you go, I've got nothing to give you but Jesus. And so I'm just going to bless you. You ever wonder what to say when you're in a relationship and you talk to somebody about Jesus Christ and you run out of words? Can I just pray for you? Can I just bless you? It's going to look different for every single person, but maybe they're going through a health crisis. Maybe their relationship's falling apart. Maybe they're in a situation where there's conflict, where they're not being treated equally, where there is favoritism, and you don't even know that, but can I just bless you? I'm just going to pray for you. And I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know whether it's great or I don't know whether it's bad, but if I just pray for you, if I just bless you, God's going to do it. And that blessing can even turn your life upside down. But the end result might be that you come to Jesus Christ and you come to know the same Holy Spirit that I know, the same Jesus that I know. And there's a world out there that is literally dying. Have believers and Christians stand up and say, can I bless you? Can I pray for you? It's not about passing on our wealth like it was with Isaac. But it's about passing on the value of what God has done in our hearts and our lives to others. And we're a different culture thousands of years later. But the same God that was the God of Isaac and Abraham and Jacob and Esau is the same God that we worship today. The difference is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is we have direct access to God through his Holy Spirit that we've never had before. And so as you go out into this world, as we wrap up this series, as you ask yourself or think about or ponder this question, how do I leave a legacy? Here's a couple things to take with you this week. First of all, do you treat everyone the same? And you can measure that. Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? When you're talking, who are you encouraging? Who are you discouraging? Or critical? Do you treat everyone equally? Is there peace in your relationships, in your marriage, with your spouse, in your aunts and uncles, in your grandkids, in your kids, in your parents, and everything that goes around? Is there peace in your relationships, in the church, in your neighborhood? That's a hard one, isn't it? Because there's some people that just don't want to be at peace with you. And they're the ones that maybe they're not physically persecuting you, but they're talking behind your back, or they're not willing to compromise, or they're not willing to breach reconciliation or even talk about that. But we're still called to be peacemakers and to love them anyways. Maybe keep safe boundaries, but still be people of peace. And are you blessing others? Are you looking for the opportunity to bless others? Maybe you think, I have absolutely nothing to offer anybody. You probably have a whole bunch of things. But even let's say you had absolutely nothing, no monetary gain, no talents, no nothing, zippo. You're a blob. But you're filled with God's Spirit. Boy, you have everything. Because 96%, the stats tell us in society, don't have the Holy Spirit. 96%. Only 4%, give or take, in Canada call themselves evangelical Christians. Only 4%. That means there's 96% of the people that you come in contact with this week, likely, don't have Jesus and don't have his Holy Spirit. And whether they recognize it or not, they are looking for peace and they are looking for a blessing, if we're willing to pass it on and to leave that legacy. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you did not use perfect families. Actually, far on the other spectrum, you used families that were so messed up and so full of conflict, just like ours. We thank you that we can relate so well to many of these characters that we've seen over the last month. But Father, there is a deep desire in our hearts, and if there's not, God, stir it up to be able to leave a legacy to those around us, to pass on something to those that we love in our biological families, but also to those in our communities whom we live in relationship with. And so, Jesus, we ask that as we go out into this place this week, that we are conscious and aware of the areas where we show favoritism, where we're not treating everybody equal. Father, we ask that you would give us opportunities to be peacemakers, to be the conduits that you use to show Jesus to others around us. And as we live this way, give us the opportunities and the wisdom and the discernment to know when we can pass on your blessing to those around us. For these things we pray in your most holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen. Mm.